You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle. So good to have you with us. Reminder, Governor Gavin Newsom's daily noon news conference comes your way right after Air Talk, as it does every day during this time of COVID-19 here on 89.3 KPECC. Well, we began a segment last week, and then our phone system crashed, and thankfully we were able to bring back both of our guests who were going to talk with us about the massive California Public Employees Retirement System. It's the nation's largest public employee pension fund, and after it suffered huge losses back in the financial crisis of 2008-2009, which it lost nearly a quarter of its assets, CalPERS set up some hedge investments to try and protect against future declines in the market. But as reporter Cesare Podkul reports in the Wall Street Journal, CalPERS unwound a number of those hedges before the huge March sell-off of stocks. Cesare, good to have you with us again, and I appreciate your being willing to come on with us once again. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So share with us from the beginning here, after CalPERS invested in these hedges, what made them decide to let those go and to move those funds elsewhere?
Sure. So just a quick word about these funds. These are funds that are designed to basically be kind of like an insurance product in case the market ever has an epic sell-off. These are funds designed to basically hedge against that by delivering you a big return during that time that would offset that sell-off. So these are funds with names like Universa and Longtail Alpha. CalPERS invested in both of these and also had another fund internally that followed a similar strategy. In October of last year, they decided to basically move away from that as a tail risk strategy to hedge against those epic declines. And the main reason for that was just that during when times are good and, you know, these funds aren't, you know, there isn't a big payoff from a market slide, you know, you end up losing money on these insurance products, essentially, by having these options expire worthless month after month because the markets are placid and there's not a big return. So you end up having that drag and paying fees on that, and it's not scalable for a fund of that size. So based on that, CalPERS decided, you know, this costs a lot over time and it's not really scalable for a fund of our size. And they decided to do something else instead to hedge against a big market drawdown like the one we just saw in March.
So have you been able to analyze how CalPERS performed when the market dove in March, when it didn't have those hedge investments anymore, that insurance, as you put it, versus how they ended up performing?
No, it's tough to say for a fund of that size. And there's obviously CalPERS is a large diversified pension. So it's tough to say exactly what could have been versus what did happen. You know, according to numbers that CalPERS shared with us, the alternative strategies that they put in place before the current CIO came on board delivered them a return, or rather it offset losses by about $11 billion compared to what could have been. You know, it's hard to estimate. You know, people we spoke with say that it could have been anywhere in north of like $1 billion that could have been an immediate payoff in March from these tail risk hedge funds that they exited. So that's kind of the numbers you're looking at, but it's not quite that simple. There's also the idea that, you know, these are, you know, paper gains versus having these hedges in place and having them pay off and, you know, wire you cash in March. That's money you can use right away and reinvest in the markets. And it is, you know, the difference between a risk mitigation strategy, you know, doing other things within your portfolio to make sure the portfolio doesn't slide as much versus having, you know, an insurance-like product that gives you a big payoff, you know, kind of right in the middle of the eye of the storm. But overall, you know, in terms of the general trends for the fund, you know, CalPERS started the year with about $400 billion in assets. At the trough, it declined about $75 billion to about $330 billion, and it's since recovered now to about $376 billion.
All right. We're talking with the Wall Street Journal senior reporter handling financial investigations and special projects for the journal, Cesare Podkul. Also with us, CalPERS Deputy Chief Investment Officer Dan Bienvenu. I should just mention, by the way, that I am a CalPERS pensioner back from when I worked at Pasadena City College, when KPCC used to be headquartered there. Mr. Bienvenu, thank you very much for joining us. And share with us, if you would, what other sort of risk mitigation CalPERS undertook when it moved out of those special hedge vehicles?
All right. Thanks, Larry, and thanks for having me here. I would agree with many of the things that Cesare said. I mean, I guess the thing I would add is that the really important thing when looking at investment decisions like this is really to take a portfolio context and to think through, number one, the utility of the specific investor, what that investor needs. But then number two, think of it in terms of the holistic portfolio and not any individual strategy. And I think that is the way that we manage the portfolio as any investor would and should. The things that we put in place as a result of our most recent asset liability management work, which was in 2017, we put in place a specific segment of the portfolio designed to own U.S. Treasuries, long-duration U.S. Treasuries, which tend to be negatively correlated with equities. And we know that the bulk of the risk in the $400 billion, $370 billion portfolio is that equity risk. And then the other thing is that we put in some factor-weighted equity. And that factor-weighted equity is intended to behave like equity. We know that equity is equity. But the idea for this is to have certainly lower drawdowns and hedge against drawdowns. And those are the strategies that Cesare alluded to, that while the tail risk mitigation strategies, again, were viewed in a holistic portfolio context, we decided to exit those strategies just due to the and by the way, those strategies, as I say, every investor has their own utility function. Those strategies are completely appropriate for some investors. We just, given our size, given our ability to deploy capital in other ways in a very low cost way, the cost and scalability that Cesare mentioned were the challenges for us. And we decided that these other two segments, putting 10% of the holistic portfolio into long duration U.S. Treasuries, and then putting 15% of the portfolio into these sort of factor weighted equity, allowed us to deploy 25% of the portfolio in things to mitigate drawdown. And those resulted in, advantages of something like $11 billion relative to sort of cap weighted equity and spread segment GFI, fixed income.
This is an opportunity for you, if you have questions for the Deputy Chief Investment Officer of CalPERS, the massive public employee retirement fund. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Dan Bienvenu of CalPERS is with us. Also with us from the Wall Street Journal Financial Investigations and Projects team, senior reporter Cesare Podkul, 866-893-KPECC, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Dan, what is the projection for returns for CalPERS this year, particularly given the volatility we've had over the past several weeks?
That's a question that we keep getting, frankly, Larry, and it's a tough one because obviously, none of us has a crystal ball about what the market's going to do for the next couple of months. And as Cesare alluded to, and what we've all seen in the markets is that it's been certainly a very volatile period. Going into the calendar first quarter, our fiscal third quarter, the portfolio is up about 5.5-6%. Then in the quarter from January 1st until March 31st, we suffered a paper loss, but we were down about 9%, a little over 9%. And then since then, we've snapped back, since that's March 23rd bottom, but even since March 31st, we've snapped back materially, and the portfolio is right around flat for the fiscal year right now. There's still a couple of months, and it's really important to underscore that ours is a very long investment horizon. You're one of our beneficiaries, which is nice to know, but certainly we're retiring on behalf of almost 2 million beneficiaries out there, and we're doing that over a multi-generational time horizon. So we try not to get caught up in short-term market movements. We take a long horizon, manage the portfolio in what we believe to be a prudent way to pay those beneficiaries, whether it's yourself or myself when the time comes, or the, you know, 19-year-old police officer that's just joining the force.
Wanted to ask you, Dan, also about how CalPERS invests. Can you give a general percentage of what is in stocks versus in bonds and other instruments, other investments?
Yeah, absolutely. And all of this is public on our website, but we have approximately half of the portfolio, 50% of the portfolio in equities. And again, that's broken down between being about two-thirds of that 50% is in cap-weighted equities, and then about a third is in this sort of factor-weighted equity. Then we have almost 30%, I think it's about 28% of the portfolio invested in fixed income. So that's a global fixed income. That includes, you know, obviously this 10% that's U.S. Treasuries, but then mortgages, corporates, you know, international sovereigns, et cetera. Then about 12% of the portfolio is invested in real assets, and the real assets includes both real estate and then also infrastructure assets. And then finally, about 8% of the portfolio is invested in private equity. So it's a similar exposure to the public equity investments, though done through, you know, obviously limited partnerships and co-investments and other vehicles that are not publicly traded.
Teddy in Venice, you're on Air Talk.
Hey, wondering about that last 8% invested in private equity and how you all think about performance of the private equity markets in the years to come.
Dan, bienvenue.
Yes, happy to. Certainly, we believe that private markets are one of the real opportunities we have. Now, we also obviously know that the sort of dispersion of returns in the private markets is much greater than in the public markets. And so we need to make sure that we're, you know, in the best investments. But certainly, you know, ours is, we have a 7% return assumption on the whole portfolio. We think that's achievable, but it's a challenge, certainly. And so because of the challenges there, we believe that some of the better opportunities are in the private markets, both private equity and private debt.
Teddy, thanks. Ron in West Hills, you're on Air Talk.
Thank you, Larry. I'm wondering what your guests think is the likelihood, assuming that they're willing to offer an opinion, that the state, which was already looking at sort of unsustainable pension costs, what is the likelihood that pensions will finally be reduced?
Dan, you want to weigh in on that? I don't know if it's the third rail, but certainly a tough issue for the state.
Yeah, you know, frankly, that's a policy issue, and one that is, you know, as an organization like CalPERS, we try to stay out of the policy issues. We try to, you know, be an honest broker of information, but then otherwise, you know, do the job that we've been entrusted to do, which is, you know, ensure retirement, ensure health benefits, ensure good customer service, and do that over a long horizon. We did have the PEPRA legislation that happened a few years back, and that did reduce benefits. But as I say, that too was that was a policy issue that's carried by the policymakers. And for us, we'll do what we're tasked to do in the best way we can.
All right. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it, Ron. And gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for talking with us about CalPERS. Cesar, you want to weigh in just briefly on that issue of the vulnerability of pensions, given the financial state that not just California, but, you know, so much of the country is facing?
I mean, it really depends. It's on a state-by-state basis. You know, constitutional protections for pensions vary by state. Some are stronger, some are weaker. But in general, I mean, it's something that, as Dan mentioned, it's a policy issue for lawmakers. So it depends, you know, really on the politics of each state and how much, you know, willingness there is among lawmakers to do anything to diminish pensions and then go through any resulting court battles.
Yeah, I was going to say, and for the courts, that's where any move like that would ultimately end up. Gentlemen, thank you very much. That's Cesare Podkul, our senior reporter, Wall Street Journal Financial Investigations, Dan Bienvenu, CalPERS Deputy Chief Investment Officer. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up, we're going to talk about an allegation of sexual assault against presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden, and ask Democratic listeners to Air Talk what weight you give that. Is that going to factor into your vote? And do you think it will factor in the votes of other Democrats like yourself? 866-893-KPECC. We'll be back in 90 seconds.